morning. Good to see everyone, and it's a privilege for me to share from the Word of God today. And as you can see, the title of our sermon today is The Attitude of Gratitude. Okay, The Attitude of Gratitude. And this is a great, blessing if we understand this topic, because it comes with a promise from God that if we have this attitude, then we have His peace, okay, in our life. And I'm sure we all want God's peace in our life. And we get this from Philippians chapter 4, where, let's read Philippians chapter 4. It says in verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." So we see here that when we pray or we bring our petitions to God, we have to bring it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And if we do that, God promises that we will have His peace. And this is a divine peace. Like, maybe your situation might not be that good, or by sight, you might be going through a lot of, pressure and tension. But God says that you will have a peace which is divine, which is transcendent. And it says this is a peace which surpasses understanding. I mean, you cannot explain it in a human way. So what a great promise that if we have gratitude, God will give us His divine peace. So let's look at more closely, what do these words mean? Okay, what does attitude mean? So the word attitude, it comes from two Greek words, okay? Aptus and tudo. And aptus means to be fit, suited. And it means the being in a state of fortitude, okay, being fit. So it means your attitude, right? Outlook is your attitude, how you see things, your perspective. And that is how you are guided, your attitude towards life, right? We say your worldview. That is what guides each one of us as we make our decision. So it is very important to know what this means. And it is like the glasses, right? It's like the lens through which we see the world. Okay, that's our attitude. And we may not think about it, but it guides our decisions, what we do and how we behave in things. So it is our posture. Okay, it's a posture that we take in all our decisions. And so what it says is that our perspective, our outlook, the way we see the world, that is what should be that of a gratitude, a person who is thankful. The same way, what does the word gratitude mean? Of course, it means to be grateful and thankful. But it comes from two words, gratis. I think gracias, you must have heard that word. It means to be pleasing, to be thankful, and to be, having a good attitude, right, towards others. And the second word is the same, okay, tudo. So you have a attitude and a position, an outlook of thankfulness, okay. So this is quite contrary, right, to how most of the people around us might behave, right? Most of the time, people do not have an attitude of gratitude. Most of the time, right, we are looking for things not to be happy about, okay? So it is a faith. It is a life of faith, to have this attitude of thankfulness to all, of course, as Christians, to all that we see around us and to God Himself. So what is the opposite of this attitude of being grateful? The opposite of this is to be having a mindset of entitlement, right? That people or God Himself owns me, you know, certain kind of pleasures or you know, what I would like to like life to be, right? The attitude of entitlement. How about the attitude of discontent? Right, these are all opposite of being grateful. How about resentment? Oh, why did this happen? Or why did that happen? Or why is this and why it is not like this, right? And also, of course, grumbling, right? So all these are the opposite of being a person who is, who has an outlook of ungratefulness. And we see this is one of the biggest sin in the world right now, right? We see in Romans chapter 1 verse 20, it says, let's read this, Romans chapter 1 verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Even though they know God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Okay, this is the key here. Though they do not, they see everything, how great God is, you know, around us, around them, these the unbelievers, they do not give thanks to God. But what happens? But they become futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they become fools. So the first step, you know, to grow, we need to grow in our gratefulness, is to be aware of how great God is and that he is the creator of this world, right? He, his hands and his power has made everything that we see around us. It is not by chance. It is not by fate. Okay, there is the one true God, the God of the Bible, right? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the creator of everything. And this is the first and the most important step to being grateful to God. If we miss this, the Bible is saying that you and I will become what? Futile in our speculations. Right, we see this very often, right? People who don't believe in the God of the Bible, the Creator, they are into all kinds of speculations and guesses, right? You know, the professor in their college said something, or they saw some video, or their best friend said something, right? They're all speculating. But we as Christians, and of course the Bible proclaims that there is one true eternal God, the Creator. And he deserves to be thanked. He deserves to be recognized. And he deserves to be praised. And that is the right response of creatures. Okay, we are creatures. And that is the right response of us, that we should acknowledge him, honor him, and give him thanks. And if we don't do that, the Bible says that we will become foolish. Right? We will become foolish, and of course we don't want to be foolish. So our, as we grow in gratefulness, we should be very, very sensitive, right, to the creation, the amazing creation, as we prayed this morning, that God is the one who gives us life and the power to live and to enjoy this life. So that is where the gratitude begins. It is praising and thanking God for his creation. And you know, this message of that God is the creator, the good God is the creator, and we need to acknowledge him, thank him, and be grateful, is part of the good news, the gospel. Okay, so when we present people who are unbelievers about forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, part of that, even before that, we explain to them that this is the true God who created everything. This message is of salvation is from the one true God who created everything. We read in Revelation 14 verse 6, and I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of the judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water." Amazing. So we see here that the eternal gospel, part of the eternal gospel is that God is the creator, the one true God is the creator, and we as his people should give him honor, praise, and glory. And then in Revelation chapter 4 verse 11, again, these are the 24 elders in Revelation 24. And they are praising God specially for being the creator. "Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they exist and were created." Amazing. So, you know, this verse is saying that the very reason of our existence is God. I mean, the very reason that we are alive right now is because it is the will of God. I mean, how much grateful and thankful we should be. Because even the breath that we have is a gift from God. In Acts chapter 17 verse 24, this God, the creator, Paul said that, okay, we know this in Acts chapter 17. Here Paul is talking to pagans, right? They are philosophers, you know, of his age at Marseille in Athens. And he is telling them that there is a true God who created everything. And here the true God is just not out there, but here he says that he is near to each one of us. Okay, he is intimately, he knows us, and he is intimately concerned about each one of us. Verse 24, "The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands." So he's talking to idolaters, and he's saying that God is not an idol, but he is the creator of heaven and earth. "Nor is he served by human hands as though he needs anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. And even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his children." So the true God, not only, he wants to have an intimate relationship with each one of us. And here Paul is saying that we are like his sons and daughters, like we are his children. That is so great, because now we can thank him for that. No, he considers us his children, and he's intimately involved in our life, and he seeks the best for us. And Jesus said this, right? That to know God's love, you need to look at creation. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, he says, "Look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more than they? Are you not worth much more than they?" So here, Jesus is saying, if God can take care of birds who don't do any work actually, right? They don't reap, they don't gather in barn, they're not storing up, they're not worried about the future. The birds are not worried about the future. So how do we learn these things, right? How can we cultivate gratefulness and thankfulness? It's by looking out in the creation, you know, and seeing how God takes care of the of everything we see around us. And so when here it says, you know, look at birds, I want to give an example of a bird, okay? This is amazing. This was mind-blowing when I read about this. So we want to look at one of the birds. So there is this bird called the nutcracker, okay? It's found in North America. And it is a very, very, very small bird, like a sparrow. But it has the most extraordinary memory that scientists and, you know, great men are baffled. Like, how is this possible? So what does this bird do? It lives in North America, so it snows, right? 9 months in the year. So during the 3 months of summer, it has this favorite food called the pine nut. Okay, it's found in the pine tree. It can store. So what it does, it stores the pine tree seeds for the coming winter season. And it carries about 100 seeds in its pouch and then goes around in everywhere in the forest and buries it. Okay, it digs a hole because it's summer, there's no snow. It digs a hole and it buries this seed everywhere for around 25 miles around in the one bird. Okay, in the jungles. And by the end of summer, after the 3 months, it has saved about 100,000 seeds. 100,000 seeds it has saved all across in the forest. And what does it do? Then the winter comes and there's no seed. But the bird has such amazing memory that it can know exactly where it has buried those seeds all across the forest. So the rest of the 9 months, it just goes and it can even dig through the snow, right? And removes those seeds and eats it all through the 9 months of winter. That is amazing. And the scientists say that the bird actually doesn't have that great of an eyesight also. And they say this is something special. Okay, they can't figure out how. In fact, the bird is so smart, it knows exactly where in the forest will the snow melt first. Okay, so it knows how the mountains are framed, where the sun falls first, and it buries in areas where it knows here the snow is going to melt first. Okay, so this is unbelievable. This cannot be chance, right? I mean, some amazing God has designed all this. So it doesn't end here, right? It has buried 100,000 seeds everywhere. And this is also the way this seed grows, right? I mean, this tree gets pollinated. So this special pine tree, the seeds that these birds can't find, the bird just happened to dig it exactly the depth it needs to grow. How can that happen? The bird doesn't know that. But God has made that bird in such a way that it knows exactly the depth that the seed will need, okay, to grow. So those seeds that are not dug up later on, it grows and it becomes a pine tree. And that's how the pollination is happening. So that's amazing. So I gave that example just because Jesus said it, okay? Jesus said, look at the birds. Look at the birds. Okay? And next time, you know, when we want to think and praise God, and we should do this often, right? We should do this often. You know, find things in nature. Find things, amazing things like that, and just thank and praise God for how great He is. So we should have joy and thankfulness for His marvelous creation. We do not take our life for granted. And we are thankful, but we are not, you know, we don't live in entitlement and thinking that, you know, we deserve it, because that would not cultivate gratefulness. So gratefulness, gratitude is the path of wisdom. right? We read in Romans chapter 1, those who are not grateful, they are not wise. Okay, they are not skilled in making right decisions in life. Then moving on, the bigger reason, right, the greater reason is that the God who cares for us sent his Son to be our Savior. Okay, gratitude for the Savior who makes us whole. Okay, Jesus is a gift from God, right? God need not save us. I mean, he could have just let us live a natural life and perish. But God chose to give us eternal life through his Son. But there are many, right? There are many Christians probably who are not grateful for that. Okay, they're not grateful. We don't see them being thankful and the way their attitude is. And this is something that Jesus observed in Luke chapter 17, verse 15. This is the story of, remember there were 10 lepers. 10 lepers who called out to Jesus from far away, please help, have mercy on us. And Jesus had mercy on them and healed all of them. But then he says in verse 15, now one of them, so out of 10, only one came back. When he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell down at his feet, on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Amazing. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were they not 10 cleansed? Jesus is like scratching his head. It's like, honest question, right? Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Yeah, exactly. They didn't have the attitude of gratefulness. So, I mean, we want to be this one person, right? We want to be this one person who comes back to Jesus, comes back to God and says, God, thank you. But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. So it is very important that we thank God for Jesus Christ, thank God for eternal life, and have thankfulness, you know, for what God has done to us through Jesus Christ. In Psalm 103 verse 2, gratitude, we need to have gratitude that remembers every benefit. Every benefit. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. None. That's something. I mean, we should not actually feel entitled for anything. I mean, that's what I think what this verse is saying. Who pardons all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagle. So let's remember things, right? Let's not forget anything. And the thing is, we tend to, you know, one bad thing happens, right? And we forget all the good things. That's something I think is built in our human nature. One bad thing and it makes us forget all the good, but that it should not be like that. One rainy day should not make us forget all the good sunny day on the beach that we enjoyed. Then Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15, gratitude is a pleasing sacrifice for God. So God is pleased. I think that's what also we learned in Luke chapter 17. Like Jesus observed, one person came back and he was very happy. And when we are thankful, when we are praising God and having an attitude of gratitude, you know, it is like a sacrifice to God. It pleases him. And of course, this is drawing from the Old Testament, right? Where all these sacrifices were made in the temple to God, and it was like a sweet smelling aroma to God. And so it says here, though through him then let us continually, always and all time, offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Fruit of the lips, right? So it is important what comes out of our lips. So we see here continually. How can we do it continually? It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. In all situations. Of course, there is soberness in this. Like, we do not, you know, glory in evil. But we thank God for all the good things, right? And we trust him when we, by sight, things don't look good. Ephesians 5 verse 20. Always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To our God the Father. So in every situation and for all things, we can have an attitude, right? A posture, a state of mind of gratitude. So what is the opposite of gratitude? The opposite is grumblings. Okay, grumblings, murmuring, complaining. And this displeases God. While gratitude pleases him, grumbling, murmuring, and complaining displeases him. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 7, and in the morning you will see the glory of God, for he hears your grumblings against the Lord. So this is Moses talking to the nation of Israel. We know the story that they did not have faith, they could not trust God. And this is one of the sins of the nation of Israel, right? Coming out of Egypt as they pass through the desert. So what does Moses say? For he hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us? Okay. So Moses is like, we are human beings, you know, you are wasting your time grumbling to me. Moses said, this will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumbling, which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord. So this is serious. Okay? Grumbling is something that displeases the Lord. And so we should not take it casually, right? We don't want to displease our Lord. And of course, Lord is very patient, as we saw in the story of the nation of Israel. He was very patient with them, but in the end, his patience ran out and he said that you will not enter the promised land. So we should avoid grumbling. And it says, you know, do all things without grumbling. So it means that I can do things with grumbling, right? It is possible to do things with grumbling. And the Bible is telling us, don't do that. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 14, do all things without grumblings and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So this kind of person is a light in the world, you know. Everyone around you is grumbling and complaining, but you are not, and you will be a light in the world. And what also Paul is telling here, that do all things without grumbling, meaning that if you have any kind of that kind of feeling, it is better probably not to do it. You know, it's better not to do it and do something that you can do with gratitude and with a loving heart. And with faith. So, in closing, in Colossians chapter 3 verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So here we see that it is the will of God And it is a command by the Apostle Paul to be thankful always. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So, how can we grow even more in gratitude? It tells us how more. It is through the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. Okay, not the worldly wisdom, not the things that we, you know, learned outside of the scriptures. It's through meditation on the word of God and through the word of Christ, you know, we can become more and more better at having the attitude of gratitude. And how, one of the ways we know that we are a grateful person is that if we sing songs, being very practical here, but one of the ways of showing gratitude and gratefulness to God is to sing to Him. Okay, it's to sing to Him. And one of the best examples we have of this is Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas in the prison. They were beaten. They are in prison. And things don't look good. Right? They're even chained. But what do? They sing. That's amazing. You know, that shows outwardly that they are grateful for everything. Though they were in such a bad situation. And we know that a great miracle happened. God freed them. So let's have the attitude of gratitude. Okay, as we, remember these things, what God has done for us, and as we are allowing the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Father, as your creatures who don't deserve, Lord, but who are blessed by you. Help us, God, to not forget any of your benefits. Help us to be like Paul and Silas, who are singing to you with a grateful heart. Thank you for all the brethren here, Lord, and we pray that you help us in the coming week. Pray also for the Williams and those who are not here, couldn't come. We pray that you be with them and give them a great week ahead. We ask these things in Jesus' name.